We're in the middle of Torah Aleph and we quote Moran Tanina. We started the first paragraph last week and we mentioned that this Torah is about the Rabbi Nathan started off in the first paragraph. Maybe it pays to mention now this rule of the Chalal. I don't know if we mentioned it recently, but we're starting a new Sefer Likutei Moran. It pays to reiterate this. The fact that one of the great tzaddikim of Rabbi Nathan's Talmidim in the last generation, the one who wrote the Sefer Bir Likutim, explain the methodology that's used in presenting a chapter on Likutei Moran, that the manner in which Rabbi Nathan did this, this is an item that I saw in other Sforim also. The fact that the Mechaber many times takes on this attitude, obviously it's a very good way of teaching, whereby in the first paragraph, or in the first chapter of a shir, the first paragraph of a shir, whether it be given orally or written, in the first paragraph is contained in summary form the whole shir, all the main points, the highlights of the shir. And everything after the first paragraph is an elaboration or an explanation as to clarify that first paragraph. And this is the same, this is the Bir Likutei Mizal, who's a very, very good authority in how to learn Likutei Moran. He stresses that if a person is aware of this, it'll give you a better understanding in the Torah, to understand that, and any time Likutei Moran, the first paragraph, or the opening lines, those are the ones that stress the focal point of the whole shir. And after that, everything we're going to have after that is explanation. So Rabbi Nathan started off by saying that the main mission, the tachlis, the goal of a yid, is to achieve memshova over malachim. And last week we spoke about the word Yisrael, that the word Yisrael emphasized this, ki sariso melekim vatucho, the fact that we're called Bnei Yisrael shows the fact that we rule over malachim, that our tachlis is to achieve memshova over malachim. And Rabbi Nathan said that once a person understands this and attempts to succeed in this, a person has to be very careful to avoid the kinas hamalachim, the jealousy of the malachim. And we showed in the Tikkun Ezeiah last week and in other Sforim how this is stressed, that there is this kina from the malachim to tzaddikim. That malachim are jealous of the fact that they know that tzaddikim have a potential to get closer to Hashem even than the malachim. So Rabbi Nathan said a person has to be very careful to watch himself from this kinas hamalochim, that the malochim shouldn't be able to knock him down. As we see, the Gemara gives us examples of cases of big tzaddikim, even Rabbi Akiva or Moshe Rabbeinu, whom the malochim wanted to knock them down, as we're going to see soon, and they barely got out of it alive. So we see that this is a definite sakona that a yid faces. Rabbi Nathan says, the advice as to how a person could guarantee, could take out insurance to ensure that he won't be hurt by this kinas hamalachim, lekasher atzmoi in neshamos Yisrael. The etzah is for a person to attach himself to the neshamos of Bnei Yisrael. The reason being, the obvious reason is, the fact that malachim, a malach against an individual Jew, it's a fair fight, or just the opposite. The odds are in favor of the malach. This the Gemara shows. The Gemara shows that there were tanoim who almost said gira veina the sitna, that I spit in the eyes of the satan, and 2 seconds later the satan proved to them that he could strangle them on a moment's notice. He could knock them off their ladder. However, against the Am Yisrael as a kolius, that the satan has no power. When there's achdus in Klal Yisrael, there's a kesher, a hiskashrus to the neshamos of Klal Yisrael, then the satan can't battle that. As we see, for example, Matan Torah, one of the most spectacular events that Bnei Yisrael was zeichet to, what gave them the power to be able to avoid any kitrug of the malachim? The malachim had a claim. They said, "Asher tenohid chal hashamayim." There's a pasuk that says that the Torah belongs in heaven. The yidden, you're going to give it to them. Very, very few are going to stick to it. Very few are going to be pure. And yet, the fact that the pasuk says, "Vayichan sham Yisrael neged hohor," that the yidden was zeichet to be nesachay, the neshamos of Yisrael was zeichet to become neskasher, that's what guaranteed them that they were protected from the kinas hamalochim. So Rabbi Nathan says, "Val yidei ha-hiskashrus," through a person binding himself with the neshamos of Bnei Yisrael, nitzol mehem, the person can be protected from these malochim. V'zeh b'chinas ma'aches panei kisei. When we talk about attaching yourself to the neshamos of Yisrael, what do we mean? What's another word for that? Attaching oneself to the kisei hakovoid. As the pasuk says in Iyov, ma'aches, grabbing onto panei hakis panei kisei, grabbing onto the throne. Rabbi Nizal says, she'tzorich le'choiz atzmoi b'shoroshei ha'neshamos, a person has to grab onto and attach himself to the root, the origin of the neshamos, ha'chatzuvois mitachas kisei hakovoid, which are carved out from under the kisei hakovoid, under the throne of Hashem. Shehu b'chinas eim kolchoi. The throne of Hashem is what's referred to as the mother of all creation. That's where the neshamos came from, so that's considered the mother of Klal Yisrael is the Kisei HaKavod. Al pi Kabbalah, this fits very good, because the Kisei HaKavod corresponds to the Olam HaBriya, which is Bina, which is the heavenly mother, corresponds to Ima, the mother. Rabbi Nizal says, now we put on the side of the Gemara in Shabbos. The Gemara says, "V'zeh b'chinas ma'asham razal." This is what the Gemara says. "B'sho she'olom Moshe la'moroim." When Moshe Rabbeinu went up to heaven to receive the Torah from Hashem, Amru Malachi Hashoreis. The Malachi Hashoreis said, "Ma liyelud isha beinenu." How dare a human being tread among us? How dare he try to come among us? And I was zeichet to hear once from Rabbi Yochayim, the way he touched this statement in the Gemara, this statement in the Kudimaran, he said, note, the word Beinenu means among us. The word Beinenu also means between us. The Kitrud HaMalochim here, what was the point that was being stressed here? Not so much that Moshe Rabbeinu dared to come among them, among the Malachim, the question that the Malachim were challenging with was Mal Yalud Isha Beinenu. How dare a human being try to come between us? Between who? Between the Malachim and Hashem. They knew that Moshe Rabbeinu went up to heaven now to achieve a Madrega where he was going to surpass the Malachim. This was what they were screaming. How dare a human being, one of flesh and blood, try to come between us, between the Malachim and Hashem? Meaning, they wouldn't have gotten so angry if they understood that he was going to be equal to them or lower than them. But they saw that Moshe Rabbeinu was about to achieve a Madrega. He was going to surpass the level of Malachim. They saw he was up in heaven 40 days, 40 nights. He wasn't eating or drinking either. And he was learning with Hashem privately in a manner that they had never been zeichet to. This was what they were screaming about. Omar lohem, so Hashem told the Malachim, lekabel Torah bo, that Moshe Rabbeinu came to receive the Torah on behalf of Bnei Israel. Omru, so the Malachim said, there's a pasuk that says, asher tenohicho al hashomayim, that you, Hashem, have given your hoid, your beauty, your Torah, to the heavens, al hashomayim. Omar HaKadosh Baruch Hu l'Moshe, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to Moshe Rabbeinu, hachzer lohem tshuva. Hashem said to Moshe Rabbeinu, let's see you give them an answer. Let's see you reply to what they're saying. Omar, so Moshe Rabbeinu said, I have what to say. I'm not at a loss for words, but ani misyorei shelo yisrafuni behevel piyem. I'm afraid that they'll get angry. I'll give them a good answer. They'll get angry. They'll burn me with their breath. Malachim of fire. I'm afraid that they'll destroy me with a flash of fire. Omar loy, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to Moshe Rabbeinu, this is all in the Gemara and Shabbos. So Hashem said to Moshe Rabbeinu, Echoiz v'kisei kevoidi, grab on to my heavenly throne, and that will protect you from having them burn you, and then give them an answer. Now the question is, this is found in the Gemara. Any person learning in yeshiva or learning on his own learns this Gemara, grab on to the kisei hakavod. Why didn't Hashem say grab on to one of the chandeliers here? Why? What does the Kisei HaKavod represent that's going to serve as a protection for the Malachim? Rabbi Nizal explains, Hainu she'nosan lo yashem yisborach eitzo. Hashem was giving Moshe Rabbeinu advice, le'echoiz, to grab onto, ulehizkasher, and to bind himself, b'shoroshei ha'neshamos, with the origin of the Jewish neshamos. Shehein b'chinas kisei hakavod. That's where the kisei hakavod. The kisei hakavod is the origin, the mokor, from which the neshamos of Bnei Israel was carved out from. This is nothing physical. Neshama is not physical. So no, don't picture this as being a chair. This is not something that we understand what this means in a physical context. But these are the terms that are used to refer to certain items in Shamayim. So the Kisei HaKavod represents the place from which the Neshama Yisrael and Israel originated. Eim Kol Choy, the mother of all creation. That's how he'll be protected from the jealousy of the Malachim. Note, interestingly, just to show you how the Torah is Ani b'mokam echod, v'ashir b'mokam acher. Hashem said to him first, Hachzer lohem tshuva. And if you recall, Rabbi Zalman gave a whole spectacular shir explaining what this refers to. What was the kitrug of the Malachim? What was their main complaint? That we can be shomer Torah mitzvahs. We are infallible. We will not commit sins. The Yidden will commit sins. So the pshat in the Gemara here is, Hashem said, Hasel and Shuvah, give them an answer. Rabbi Zal said that the Mefarshim explained, Hasel and Shuvah, the word Shuvah was the answer. And tell the Malachim that the Mokim Shebalei Shuvah Oindim Ein Tzadikim Gemuri Mechelam Lamoy. They think they're big shots, these Malachim, because they don't commit sins? Big deal. About Shuvah, who committed a sin, and does Shuvah rises to a higher Madrega than a Tzadik? The Malachim are Bechinas Tzadik. A Baal Tshuva rises to a higher Madrega. So he once explained, what's Taich Tshuva? What's Taich Tshuva? Tshuva means that I took a psiolabar, I was going on a righteous path, I went off the righteous path, and now I want to come back to the righteous path. The term Tshuva, the word that's used, is always to come back. Come back to Hashem, return to Hashem. This concept of coming back, returning, going back to the origin. So we mentioned this is the whole site of tshuva. This is why, for example, note how Rav Moshe Zal Likutei Halachos, you can understand everything. We would ask all the Lamdonim, why is it that on Rosh Chodesh, Rosh Chodesh is the one laning of the entire year where we lane Shalai Keseder. We lane first Pasuk Aleph Beis Gimel, then we go back and we start the second aliyah from Pasuk Gimel. We repeat Pasuk Gimel again. Gimel Dalet He is the second aliyah. Why? Gemara, you're not going to find this answer. Rav Moshe Zal explains on the Likutei Halachos, Rosh Chodesh is the symbol of tshuva. Rosh Chodesh is the day on which Kaviyochel Hashem himself does tshuva, the Gemara says, for the fact that he decreased the size of the moon, he decreased the size of Levana. Hashem said for that the Yidden are going to bring a korban every Rosh Chodesh to be mechaper Kaviyochel for Hashem. That's why Rosh Chodesh is considered Zman Kapora L'chol Tavosam. That's why that's a time that's so mesugal for tshuva, because of the fact that, in other words, let's say a person smacks somebody or does something wrong to somebody else. If you know that you have to go apologize to the other person, and the one whom you're apologizing to has nothing to apologize for, that's a difficult apology, because you come out lowering yourself to that person. It's an embarrassing feeling. But if a person knows that they wronged someone else, and the one whom they wronged feels that he wronged them back, so it's a question of trading apologies. To trade apologies is much easier, it's much less embarrassing than a person just having to submit an apology. So this is the chesed of Hashem to Bnei Israel, that on this day, Rosh Chodesh, when we daven for Kapora, Kaviyochel Hashem has humbled himself and made believe as though he has to bring a korban, he has to bring a Kapora. Hashem did a sin, is it shayach, a concept of sin by Hashem? But Kaviyochel, this is the way the Gemara in Chulin explains it. The Gemara says there that Hashem says to the moon, every Rosh Chodesh, the Yidden will bring a korban to forgive for the fact that I slighted you, I slighted the moon. So Rav Moshe Zal explains, tshuva is always an Indian of going back, returning. We see this in the Kriyas HaTorah of Rosh Chodesh. This is why in this Kriya, we go back. The symbolism here is that this Kriya represents the Indian. This Sawyer, this korban that we're reading about, is a korban of tshuva. Tshuva is always an Indian of going back. So we once mentioned from Rav Shimshon Ostropo Yisrael that Rav Shimshon Ostropo Yisrael said, there's a Gemara that says, G'dayla tshuva, shemagas, ad kiseh hakovoy. That tshuva is so great, it reaches up to the Kisei HaKavod. Rav Shimshon Ostropo Yisrael, who was one of the Mekubalim, said he went to sleep one night, and he was zeichet to have revealed to him the soid of this Gemara. That they showed him that tshuva is always a concept of going back. If you take a look at the words Kisei HaKavod, going back constantly, kaf, then kaf samach, then kaf samach aleph, then kaf samach aleph hey. In that manner, ba'achayrayim, always going back to the beginning, the words kisei hakavod are begimatria, exactly the word tshuva. So this is the soid of this Gemara. When the Gemara says tshuva is so great it reaches up to the kisei hakavod, we see a remez in the words kisei hakavod for the fact that this process of constantly going back, starting over again, starting fresh, is the concept of tshuva, which reaches up to the Kisei HaKavon. Note how those items are over there in Mars. Watch how we apply it to here. Here you have this Gemara in Shabbos. Hashem said, "Hachzer lohem tshuva." Hashem said, "Give them an answer." Rabbi Zal said that tshuva means tshuva. So Moshe Rabbeinu said, "I'm afraid they're going to burn me." Hashem said to him, "Echayis the kisei kavodi." This kisei hakavod, which is the madrega to which tshuva reaches up to, shgdoila tshuva shemagasa kisei hakavod. With that, you don't have to be afraid at all. Through tshuva, you're going to be hooked up to the kisei hakavod. Once you're hooked up to the kisei hakavod, you have nothing to be afraid of. These malachim, there's no way they can harm you. Why? Because what is this kisei hakavod? This is the sheirish neshamas Yisrael. This is the sheirish from which the neshamas of Yisrael originate from. Ein kol choy, this is referred to as the mother of all creation. That's how you, Moshe Rabbeinu, will be protected from this jealousy of the malachim, by grabbing onto the kisei hakavod, which is the origin of the neshamos of Bnei Israel. That's going to protect you from this kinah. Right now, Rabbeinu Zal, okay, so we had a whole piece now. Rabbeinu Zal is going to show how everything we said till now is merumos in a pasuk talking about the creation of Chava. V'zeh b'chinas, this is what the pasuk means when it says, "Vayivan Hashem Elikim es hatzela, asher lokach min ha'odom." Hashem took the rib, which he had extracted from Odom HaRishon, and he built it up. Rabbeinu Zal explains, Vayiven, the word Vayiven, Roshei Tevois, makes up the first letters of a pasuk in Yeshaya. The pasuk says, Usekativ Yosei B'mokoim Nemon. You should place him as a spike in a trustworthy place. In other words, drive this item into the ground very firmly. Shehu Bechinas Memshova. This refers to rulership. This pasuk about placing something firmly in the ground refers to rulership, as the Targum Yoinasin says on this pasuk. Kama she Targum Yoinasin al zeh pasuk. The Targum says on these words, "Usikatev Yosei b'mokim nemon." The Targum says, "Va'amnine amrokel." You will appoint him as a ruler, mehemon, a trustworthy one, meshamesh ba'asar kin, who serves in a worthy position. So we see that this pasuk, "Usikatev Yosei b'mokim nemon," is referring to memshala. Note that the first letters of this pasuk make up the word vayiven. So when the pasuk says Vayiven Hashem Elikim es hatzela, the word Vayiven refers to the concept of memshala, rulership. Next, v'zeh bechinas hatzela. This is what we mean when we say this rib that was taken from Adam HaRishon, shehi bechinas chava. What was made from this rib? Chava. Shehi eim kol choy. Why was she called chava? The pasuk tells us because she was the mother of all creation. So note, Chava corresponds to the Kisei HaKavod. The Kisei HaKavod is also, Chava is the physical mother of all creation. The Kisei HaKavod is referred to as the mother of the Neshamos. That's where the Neshamos are taken from. Bechinas Kisei HaKavod, Shoroshi HaNeshamos Kanal. Shayidei Zeh Yesh Koyach Lamoy B'Memshol Azu. If a person wants to be zeichet to Vayiven, the word Vayiven represents Memshola, he must attach himself to Hatzela, to the rib, to Chava, to the Ein Kol Choy, to the Kisei HaKavod. Asher v'zehu, that's why the pasuk continues to say, Asher lokach min ha'odom. Where does this Kisei HaKavod draw its power from? Hainu ha'odom ha'elyon. This refers kaviyachol to Hashem, who is called in Yechezkel HaNavi, Hashem is called Odom Ho'elyon, a heavenly person who sits on the throne in heaven. Kamei Shekosev, as the pasuk says, in Yechezkel, Val Hakisei Demus Kemare Odom Olav Nomolo. That on Yechezkel HaNavi saw a heavenly vision, he saw a throne, and on the throne he saw an Odom. Who is this Odom? Kaviyachol Hashem. Odom is Mo, which is the Shemo of Hashem, refers to a certain madrega of Hashem that he saw. So note, where does the Kisei HaKavod draw its power from? Asher lokach min ha'odom. It draws its power from the one who sits on that throne, which is kaviyachol Hashem. Vayivi'eho el ha'odom. The pasuk continues. Hashem took the rib, which he had extracted from Adam, and then he formed from it Chava, and he brought Chava to Adam. What does this mean? Vayivi'eho el ha'odom. This is a second Adam. This is not the first Adam. This is a second Adam. Hainu el ha'odom hatachtoim.
This refers to taking the power which is found in the Kisei HaKavod and applying it to a human being, which the Kisei HaKavod gets from the Adam that sits on it, and applying that power to the Adam HaTachtoin, to a human being, to a Yid. This is what gives a Jew on earth the power to hold on to his memshala. Where does he draw the power? From the Kisei HaKavod. Where does the Kisei HaKavod draw its power from? From the Odom HaYeshev al HaKisei, Kaviyochu from Hashem. That Odom shines his power into the Kisei HaKavod. That power in turn is passed on to another Odom. Note the wording in the Pasuk. Va'ivan Hashem alikim esatseo asher lokach min ha'odom va'yivieho el ha'odom. Why Odom twice? It's referring to two Odoms. The first Odom, Kaviyochu, refers to one of the names of Hashem. Hashem sometimes is referred to as Odom Ha'elyon, the heavenly image. Kaviyochu, that power is taken and passed on to Odom HaTachtoin, to human beings. Rabbi Nazal says, now we can understand the secret behind Agamaran Kiddushin. The Agamaran Kiddushin tells us that there was a tzaddik, one of the Tanoim, whose name was Rabbi Amram Chasida, and there was a question that came up in Halacha as far as Shivuyim, women who are captured in war, exactly what to do with them. There was a certain discussion at the time. So the Gemara says they decided, they had some women captives, they decided to keep them in the house of Rav Amram Chasida. They knew that he was very frum, very careful about Tikkun HaBris, so they felt in his house there wouldn't be any problem having these women stay overnight, and the next day they would have a judgment in Beis Din about what should happen to them. So the Gemara says they placed these women up in an attic, which it took the ladder that Rav Amram Chasida had in his house to take them up to the attic, took 10 or 12 people to lift up that ladder. So they had these women climb up the attic, then they took the ladder down, and that was it. This is where they were supposed to spend the night. The Gemara says that during the night, one of the women was passing by the light, and Rav Amram Chasida saw her. And the Gemara says the Satan jumped into him and made this an incredible test for him to have a desire for this maid. So the Gemara says that with the power that the Satan put into him, he single-handedly went, he jumped, he picked up that ladder that took a whole bunch of people to pick up, he put it in position, and he started climbing up the ladder to go ahead and commit a sin with her. The Gemara says when he was halfway up the ladder, he realized that the Satan had taken hold of him so strong, so he knew he had to do something to save himself. He knew that for a Jew alone to battle the Satan, that's the whole point we're stressing here, single-handedly to go up against the Satan is very difficult. What did he do? He started screaming at the top of his lungs. This was in the middle of the night. The Gemara says he started screaming, Nura Be'Amram, Nura Be'Amram, there's a fire in the house of Rabbi Amram. He started screaming, fire, fire. People came running out of their houses. They came running to his house to see where the fire is. So they asked him, where's the fire? He said, the fire is inside of me. The fire of the Satan went into me. I was about to commit this Aveira, and I knew if there was nobody around, the Satan could make it very difficult. I knew if people would come, I would be ashamed to do it in front of them. So they told him, aren't you ashamed, you know, to have done this? He said, better I should be embarrassed in this world and chas v'shalom get burned in the next world. So the Gemara says, after he passed this test, he received tremendous power. So the Gemara says, he yelled out to the Satan. He yelled out tauntingly for the Satan, Ano Bisra, I'm flesh and blood, V'ant Eish, and you're fire, V'ano Adif Naminach, and I'm stronger than you are. I have proven myself to be victorious over you. The Gemara says, that second they saw a spark of fire shoot out, showing, representing the fact that he had just eliminated the Satan from himself. The fact that he passed this test, this showed that the Satan left him. So now Rabbi Nazal says, V'zehu she'omar Rav Amram Chasido, El HaMalach, this is what the Gemara says in Kiddushin, that Rav Amram Chasido said to this Malach, Ano Bisra, I am flesh and blood, V'ant Eish, you are fire, and I'm better than you. Note, baloney, it's not true. We see that he alone, single-handedly, was not able to beat the Malach. He started running up those stairs as fast as could be. What helped him defeat the Malach? The fact that he attached himself to other people. Rabbi Nazal says, the word Bisra is the Rosh Hashanah of a common expression in the Gemara. The Gemara says, which woman is there that gave birth to 600,000 neshamos in one stomach, in one womb? This was Yecheved, the mother of Moshe Rabbeinu. She gave birth to one child whose shokel connected the whole Am Yisrael. So the expression for that is Shishim Ribui Bekeres Echod. 600,000 in one stomach, in one womb. Rabbi Nizal says that the word Bisra is the Rosh Tevois Shishim Ribui Bekeres Echor. Rabbi Amram Chasiva said to the Satan, Ano, I have attached myself to the 600,000 Neshamois of Bnei Yisrael. Dahainu B'chinas Sharoshei Neshamois. He was referring to the fact that he attached himself to the Shairish Neshamois Yisrael. That's what gives a person the strength that he should be zeichet to rule over a malach, to be victorious over the malach. Bechinas, this is what he meant when he said, Ano adif nominoch. I am better than you. I am superior to you. Why? Because I'm not alone. A yid standing alone against the Satan, it's possible to lose. If he's mekasher himself to the whole Klal Yisrael, that's what guarantees that he'll be zeich to be victorious. So Rabbi Nizal says, we see this symbolism in this story in the Gemara in Kiddushin. Now note, if you recall, just a quick reminder, I don't want to get into this a lot, but if you recall, we discussed this term, L'kutei Maran, in one of the Shabbos Shiurim a few weeks ago. We mentioned that Rabbi Nosson explains in L'kutei Halachos what avodah of a Jew is there by which a Jew tries to pass the Malachim. What avodah? Tefillah. It's the tefillah of a yid that we say the tefillahs are brought to the Kisei HaKavod. This concept of the tefillah being brought to the Kisei HaKavod. Which note, interestingly, we have the opportunity to mention the name of another tzaddik, Zchus HaYochen Aleinu. The fact that this summer in Eretz Yisrael, we were zeichet to be saying Tikkun HaKoli by the Kaisel Maravi ones, and I was told the source of one of the tefillahs in back of the Likutei Tefillahs. There is a tefillah, there's a whole sequence of tefillahs which Rav Moshe Zal wrote, attached to the Tikkun HaKoli, attached to those 10 chapters of Tehillim. He wrote a whole sequence of his own tefillahs based on the Tikkun HaKoli about this topic of Tikkun HaBris, Simcha, certain other items that are related to this. In back of all of those tefillahs, there's one additional tefillah that's a tefillah that's about one short page, and it's written on top that this tefillah was found within the ksavim of Rav Moshe Zal. Now, factually, where does this tefillah, and it's brought that this tefillah is Ma'at HaKamus V'Rav Ho'echus, that it's short in quantity, it's about 30-40 lines, but in quality, this tefillah is fantastic. Reb Michal Shlita mentioned that this tefillah is from a Medrash. The Medrash says that when Menashe was the king who had worshipped so much Avodah Zarah, and it's brought that when he wanted to do tshuva, the Malachim said, we're going to lock hands, we're going to block his tshuva from coming up to Shemayim. So the Gemara says that what happened was he was about to be taken out to be killed. He was found out on earth to be a very big Rasha, and they were taking him, they put him in a coffin already, and they were taking him out to be killed. So what happened was, while he was in the coffin, he started davening to Hashem very, very hard. The tefillah that he said at that time is this tefillah that's found in back of the Tikkun HaKoli. It's a fantastic tefillah talking about the union of tshuva. The Gemara says that as soon as he said this tefillah, Kaviyochel Hashem bypassed the Malachim, Hashem went around the Malachim, and Hashem dug a tunnel. Mitachas Kisei HaKavod, this is the wording of the Gemara. From under the throne of Hashem, Hashem dug a tunnel where the Malachim couldn't see where it was, in a sense, to allow the tefillah of Menashe to come up to Hashem directly. So note, what avodah is there where a yid has the potential to bypass the Malachim, to go above the Malachim? That's this koyach ha-tefillah. This is the reason, so Rabbi Nizal says here, that when a person is going over the Malachim, said he's got to be very careful because they get jealous and they could damage the person. What's the secret as to how do you protect yourself from this? Rabbi Nizal says you have to attach yourself to the neshamos of Bnei Israel. And he gives the mashal, the proof for Moshe Rabbeinu, as we just showed. This is the secret behind why the Arizal says that if a person wants to be successful in any tefillah that he says, before he begins davening, he should say the words, Hareini mekabel olai mitzvah seseh shel v'yahavta l'reach ha-kamaycha. I'm accepting upon myself the mitzvah saseh of v'yahavta l'reach ha-kamaycha, of loving every single yid as much as I love myself. When a person does that, by doing this, he's mekasher himself to all the neshamos of Bnei Israel. With based on this Talmud Gemara, we can understand why the Arizal says that. That's to dispel this kinas hamalochim. By attaching, by saying that you're declaring yourself, that you accept this mitzvah upon yourself, by doing that, you avoid the threat of a malach coming to hurt you. If you're attached to the whole Klal Yisrael, there's no way in the world, there's no malach in the world that could harm you, that could block your tefillah from going up to Hashem. The Arizal brings a remez to this. You'll note in the tefillah of Ana B'Chayach that we say, the last line we say, Shavosenu Kabel, Hashem, please accept our Shavo, our tefillah, Ushema Tzakosenu, and listen to our screams, Yodea Ta'alumais, you Hashem who know all secrets, you Hashem who know the hidden feelings in our heart and everything. So this pasuk is talking about Hashem accepting the tefillah of a Jew. The Arizal says that the words the pasuk in the Torah, V'yohavta l'reacha kamoicho, Ani Hashem, is exactly b'gematria the first letters of this pasuk, Shavoseinu kabel, u'shemaat sakaseinu yodea talumos, showing a proof that how does a person ensure that his tefillah is going to be accepted by Hashem, it's going to be received by Hashem the right way? By saying this sentence and meaning it, feeling it, that I'm not presenting my tefillah to Hashem as one single person. One single person, you can have a mala standing there with a bat who's going to hit a home run with your tefillah, you can hit it out to some other location, no? To the whole Klal Yisrael. That, even the Gemara in Brachos tells us, Hein Kael Kabir V'lo Yimos. Hashem, a group, he will never despise. When a tefillah comes up, the tzibur, the tefillah of a minion, or the tefillah of a person who's mekasher his tefillah to the whole Klal Yisrael, that tefillah can never be rejected. Why? Because there isn't a malach in heaven who has the strength to be able to block that. Period. Any questions?
Let me say that as someone who
was
afraid to do sin in front of other people, but you know, privately, you know, because sins are very bad,
yes,
chosen fears.
Yes. But we also say, if you recall, the Gemara says that one of the biggest Talmudim, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, one of the biggest Sadiqim in the Gemara, who had Talmudim, who was certainly way, way better than myself or yourself or all of us here, that the worst Talmud there, that we just learned recently on Wednesday night shiur, that Rizal spoke about the smallest, that Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai was the smallest Talmud of Hillel HaZokin, and Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai knew how to talk from Alochim, how to talk to trees and everything. We can imagine his talmidim were very big tzaddikim. The Gemara says when Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai was about to pass away, his talmidim asked him, could you give us a bracha, a final bracha, the biggest bracha that you could ever give us? He said, okay, fine. My blessing to you is, you should be zeicha to fear Hashem as much as people are afraid of other people. You should be zeicha that your yirah shamayim should be as good as people are afraid to commit sins in front of other people. That's how embarrassed you should be before Hashem alone. Who is he saying this to? The very, very big tzaddikim. So we see that the Gemara is being made us that this is a problem among Jews. This is a problem among people. That human nature is that you get a person who, if there were another shlump, another shmedegi standing near him, he would never do this sin. Whatever it is, bittul Torah, anything, or worse sins, much worse sins. And yet, if he's alone, in quotes, baloney alone, person's alone, he's a kufir. It means he's denying that Hashem is with him in the room. We believe Shivisa Hashem on every summit. You could never be alone. There's somebody who's omnipresent, who's a little bit more important than any shnegegi friend of yours that would be with you, which if that friend were with you, you would be too ashamed to commit this sin. Yet if Hashem is with you, you're not ashamed. And yet, unfortunately, our emunah, our faith in Hashem is so small that we tend to forget. We actually think sometimes that I am alone. Nobody's watching me, so the Satan can grab me and get me to commit a sin. We see this even by these big tzaddikim of the Gemara, although you can be sure that Rabbi Amram Chassid, if the Gemara calls him Chassid, he was certainly a super spectacular tzaddik. This test happened to him to teach us a lesson. It's very hard to say that a Tana in the Gemara could be tested by the form of a woman, and a goy or yet, you know, that would have anything to do with him.
What's the word you have?
Who's he talking about? Not Rosheshes. No. With the devil who is blinded. With the problem. Right. That's who he's talking about. Huh? Not for the problem. A guild or for the problem. We'll see if you remember the name later.
Okay.
Excuse me? Rabbi Masio ben Chash. That's the name he's talking about. Right? Who was a Gilgal of Shimshon HaNibar and a Gilgal of Rav Sheshes, and that whole school, the Bova ben Buta. That's why each one of these got blinded every time. The Arizal explains, you see people in history, Tanoim, who they were born with their eyesight and they lost their eyesight, these were all Gilgulim of Shimshon HaGibor, whom because the Navi says, Cholach Achar Einav, his crime was that he allowed his eyes to lead him to that Golish woman. Because of that, his tikkun came about by his coming down the Gilgal to this world again and again, being blinded repeatedly as a tikkun. Because he was so spectacular a tzaddik, Hashem considered this a such a pigam that it had to go through so much suffering. But the one I was referring to was the Gemara at the end of Shabbos, which is brought in Shulchan Aruch. The Gemara with? Exactly, Rabbi Nachman. The Gemara says, Rabbi Nachman's mother spoke to the stargazers when he was about to be born, and they saw in the stars that he was going to be a kleptomaniac, that he was going to steal. So she said, if that's the case, how can I ever protect him? They said, make sure he always wears a yarmulke over his head. The word yarmulke is Yorei Mikah, afraid of Hashem. If he'll be careful to always have his head covered, he'll have the fear of Hashem upon him, he'll always have that hand over his head, that'll guarantee that he'll never come to steal. The Bible says one day he was walking, and he saw some beautiful fruit on a tree, and as he looked up, his yarmulke fell off. Because of this, suddenly the Satan overtook him, he was about to jump up and grab the fruit, but because he was Rav Nachman, something in him stopped him. So in order to avoid committing that sin, he grabbed the branch, and as he was climbing up the tree, grabbed the branch and he bit into it. Full power. In other words, just like when a person's in pain at the dentist office or something else, you bite into something to withstand the pain, to give you extra strength to withstand the pain. The Gemara says that's what he did. So we see in each one of these cases where a tzaddik did this, he caught himself in the middle, he's considered having passed the test. No question. Let's go. This Torah is going to be a very long Torah, and everything ties in beautifully. So don't get scared by the fact that it's long. You put together one piece at a time, and if you review it on your own each time before you come, you're going to see that everything fits in beautifully.
Hatzela is Chava, right?
Hatzela is Chava.
Exactly, that's what we're doing.
Exactly, of course, 100%. She's the rib, and that's what the pshat, that's pshat in the pasuk there. Hashem took the rib, which was Chava, he formed it into Chava, and brought it back to Adam to be in life. Now Rabbi Nizal says, okay, so we've been told our mission is Memshala over Malachim. Danger is that they're ready to kill you if they see you want to get bigger than them. Protection against this is attach yourself to the Shaloshim and Shemus Yisrael, which is the Kisei HaKavoy, but we haven't really been told how do you actually go about doing that. Rabbi Nizal says now, Ulekashir Atzmoy L'Shaloshim and Shemus Yisrael, for a person to be Zeichet, to attach himself to the origin of the neshamos of Bnei Yisrael, tzorich leida mekor kol haneshamos. He must know the origin of all the neshamos of Yisrael. Note. Now look at these words here carefully. Those who are going to understand what we're saying now, ulekasher atzmoi l'sharosh neshamos shel Yisrael. In order to bind yourself to the origin of the neshamos of Yisrael, tzorich leida mekor kol haneshamos or mekor chiyusa. You have to get to know the Mokar of all the Neshamos. Can anybody explain that to me? Taich. To attach yourself to the Neshamos, to the origin of the Neshamos, you have to get to know the origin of the Neshamos. In other words, here he's saying that how do you bind yourself to these Neshamos, to the origin of the Neshamos? By getting to know the origin of the Neshamos. Where do we know that knowing something is, that the word knowing and attaching are the same? Vayeda Odom Eschavo Ishtoi. This is brought many times in the Gemara and Sifrei Kabbalah, that the word das, when you know something, you become attached to that item. Rabbi Nizal says in Torah Chafal from the Kutim Aran, a fabulous chiddush, that wherever a person's mind is attached, that's where the person's neshama is. If you picture in your mind when you're davening that you're standing by the Kaisel Maravi, or you're standing by a Mokum Kodosh, and you really conjure up a picture like that, you can actually transfer your neshama to that location. How? That's the koyach of machshava, that wherever the machshava is, that's where the person is. Here Rabbi Nizal says that knowing the origin of the neshamos means attaching yourself. Where do we see that the word knowing is used to mean attaching? It's a pasuk in Chumash. When the pasuk says that Adam was nizdaveg with his wife Chava, it doesn't say married, it says vayeda Adam es Chava ishtoi. All of those first marriages in the Torah, it never uses a word for zivug. It uses the word vayeda Adam, vayeda noyach es Chava. It uses that word vayeda. The word vayeda means they got married. Das, Rabbi Nizal brings, is what connects shiduchim. Das is always something that connects, that brings people together, that makes shalom. Lodas es shalom ester. Okay. Rabbi Nizal says here, Ulekashir Atzmoy L'Shorosh HaNeshama Shel Yisrael, for a person to attach himself to the origin of the Neshama Yisrael, Tzorech Leida Mekor Kol HaNeshama Yisrael, Mekor Chiyusam. A person has to get to know the origin of the Neshama Yisrael and the origin of where they draw their Chiyus from. Meheichon Kol Neshama Neshama Mekabel As Chiyus. From where each and every single Neshama draws its life, its Chiyus. V'lo'ikor. Now, if I want to know the origin of all 600,000 neshamos, it sounds very complicated. Rabbi Nassau says there is a shortcut. V'ho'ikor leida kol meforsamei hador. The main thing is to get to know all the leaders of the generation. Because if a Jew is not capable of attaching himself in specifically to each and every individual neshama, he has to at least attach himself to all the leaders of the generation, because the neshamas of the Jews are divided up under the leadership of the leaders of the Jews. Ki kol mefursam umanik hador, yesh loy kama neshamos protius hashayochim lechelkoi. Each and every single tzaddik, each and every single leader of the dor has a number of neshamos, a specific number that Hashem assigns to him, that are under his rulership, that are under his leadership, and that are shayach to him. When a Jew attaches himself to the leaders of the generation, he's automatically attached to all the individual neshamos of Bnei Israel. Note, this is why Rabbeinu Zal's Talmidim, the Breslov Hasidim, or anybody who knows about this item, this is an Eitz HaTayva for anybody, whenever we go to say a tefillah, besides what the Arizal said about saying Harina Mekabel Olai Mitzvah Seseh Shel V'Ahavta Oreicha Kameicha, we also say the small sentence Harini Mekasher, where we say Harini Mekasher Etzatzmi L'chol Tzadikim Amitim Shevedoreinu. I am now attaching myself to all the tzadikim in this generation, L'chol Tzadikim Amitim Sheikh Me'ofer Kadesh Masher Bor Tzema, and to all the tzadikim who have passed away already, who are in the ground, who are buried. Especially to Rabbeinu Zal, Chosef Rabbeinu Malka Yisrael, and by a person doing this, he's mekasher himself to all the tzaddikim of the generation. This again ensures this is another way of becoming solidly attached to all the neshamos of Bnei Yisrael, and of guaranteeing that his tefillah is going to be able to pass the malachim and get up to the place where it's supposed to get to. So in a sense, these two work together. That which the Arizal was mechadish, that which Rabbeinu Zal said. This is one of the reasons that's given. Rabbeinu Zal in Torah Beis, and the Gemara gives another reason why we say Harini Mekasher. Rabbeinu Zal says, Ach tzorich leida ulahakir es hamefursamim. However, this is not that simple. A person has to be able to get to know very, very well which are the real mefursamim, which are the real tzaddikim. Because there are many people who seem to be leaders of the Jews, they seem to be tzaddikim, or they seem to be leaders, but their mamshala is not based on this mamshala we start. Their leadership is not based on the fact that they were victorious over the satan. Their leadership is based on a chutzpah. They have the audacity to make themselves into leaders when they themselves know that they're not really religious enough, they're not really worthy enough of serving as leaders of Klal Yisrael. K'may Shem Razal, as the Gemara says in Sanhedrin, Azus Malchusa B'leitago. Azus, chutzpah, is a kingdom without a crown. So we see there exists this concept of a king without a crown. One who behaves like a king, he acts like a king, but yet he doesn't really have the crown. He hasn't really earned his kingdom. How does a person earn his kingdom? We said in the beginning, Memshola over Malochim. By defeating the Eitz Hara, by defeating the Satan, by becoming a tzaddik, that's what makes him worthy of being a king. So Rabbeinu Zal says that a person has to be able to distinguish between the righteous leaders of Bnei Israel and those who are not really worthy leaders. Now Rabbeinu Zal says, how does a person do this? Ula haki res hamefursamim. For in order for a person to be able to recognize among these leaders, ezehu alidei azus, which ones are not really worthy leaders, but they rule through a chutzpah, through an azus, hu alidei binyan Yerushalayim. The way by which a person comes to get to know who the worthy leaders are is by building up Yerushalayim. Shehu Bechinas Halev. Yerushalayim represents the heart of Eretz Yisrael. Yerushalayim is situated by the heart of Eretz Yisrael, and the pasuk says, Nachamu Nachamu Ami Yoimar Alekechem Dabru Al Lev Yerushalayim. We know that Yerushalayim is referred to many times in Novi as the heart. So Rabbeinu Zal says, Shehu Bechinas Halev. A person has to perfect his heart. Ki Yerushalayim Bechinas Yero Sholem. The word Yerushalayim is actually a combination of two words, Yerushalayim. How did the city of Yerushalayim get its name? Avram Avinu called that city Yero, and Malki Tzedek Melech Shalem, he named that city Shalem. So the name stuck, both names stuck. That's why this city is called today Yerushalayim. It's based on these two words, Yero and Shalem. Yero was given to it by Avram Avinu, Shalem was by Malki Tzedek, Shem. So we see that the city of Yerushalayim represents perfection of Yero. Hainu Shlemus HaYero. This refers to completion. A person completing himself in the Madrega of fear of Hashem, Hatluya Belev. That's something that's totally in the heart. Fear of Hashem is something that's not obvious. It's not something you can necessarily see on the outside. It's totally in the heart. Kamoisham Razal, as the Gemara says in Kiddushin, Dovor Hamoser Lelev, Nemar Boi Vyaresa. That whenever we find that the Torah gives this warning, Vyaresa Me'alekecho Ani Hashem, Vyaresa Me'alekecho, whenever the Torah uses that word, it's referring to a mitzvah which sometimes another person could really not tell whether you're doing the mitzvah or not. Who can tell? Hashem can tell. This is why, because Hashem knows what's going on inside your heart. For example, there's a halacha that if a Jew is walking and he sees something that somebody else dropped on the floor, he's mechuyev to bend down, pick it up, and return it to its owner. Now, a person could be walking and actually see the object, but make believe he doesn't see. That's why the pasuk warns, V'yarei sam aleikecha. Be afraid of Hashem. Hashem knows what's in your heart. Hashem knows whether you really saw it or not, whether you're making believe you didn't see it. So we see that whenever the Torah uses this word, V'yareisa, it's referring to the heart, the fact that Hashem knows the heart. So when we say that a person has to build Yerushalayim is Yerushalayim, it means a person has to perfect his heart, purify the heart, which represents this midah of Yerushalayim. Rabbi Nizal says, however, you should know, Yesh Gimel Midos Shehei Machrive Yerushalayim. There are three specific characteristics which destroy Yerushalayim. They work against this concept of Yerushalayim. Dahainu Halev, referring to a person's heart. There are three items which could destroy a person's heart, as far as Kiddusha is concerned. Hainu Shemafsidin Hayiro Hatluya Belev. These three items decrease the fear of Hashem that's dependent on the heart. The Hagimel Midos, what are these three items? Heim Taivas Momoin, the Taivas Achila, the Taivas Meshagel. The first one is the desire for money, the wrong type of desire for money, a person who has a desire for too much money. The second is a desire for food. Again, is food asur? Chas v'shalom. We have many, many mitzvahs. Half, three quarters of the mitzvahs of the Torah are dependent on food. The whole Seder's Roim in Shas is food. Shabbos is food. Erevin is food. Psochim is food. Almost every single piece of the Torah is associated with food. So achila is not a sin. It's taivas achila. A person who eats for the sake of eating, not for the sake of being able to serve Hashem. That's the second item. And the third item is taivas mishagel. Also, the wrong type of desire for women. There's a mitzvah in the Torah that involves a desire for a woman. The first mitzvah in the Torah warrants a person developing a good feeling for another woman. Whom? His own wife. Anything more than that is considered taivas mishagel. It's the wrong type of feeling. So Rabbi Nizal says that these three items work against the person. They destroy, that they are machriv, the heart. Why are they listed in this sequence? Rabbi Nachman Shigrinzal explains, because taivas momoin is the most prevalent one, that's the most obvious one, and it's the one into which most people are stooped in. In other words, it's the most constant one. It's the one that's around you 24 hours a day, whereas taivas achila, let's say a person sits down to really take a bath in food, it can last, let's say one person can eat 18 frankfurters, 22 frankfurters, and then he's finished. He's out for 2-3 days. So we see that this has a gvul. Taivas meshagel, also, it's something that's dependent on physical strength. It has a gvul. Taivas momoin is something yesh leimona reitza mosayim. Yesh leimosayim reitza arba meyos. It's something that's it has no boundary. So that's why Rabbi Nizal lists that one first. Taivas achila is the second most prevalent one. In other words, it's the one that comes up second most often. Taivas meshagel is the one that comes up the least many times. That's the one that's the sequence that Rabbi Nizal is following here.
In taivas momoin, can a person be going after money for kedusha's sake, still fall into this
most
problem.
Definitely, because we said many times that the Sultan many times dresses himself in a mitzvah. The Sultan knows that to a real religious Jew, to tell him go serve Avodah Zarah, it's silly, it's ridiculous. That's not something that you tempt him with. Many times the Sultan makes a person think he's doing a mitzvah, and it's really a super avodah. He's just using it as a sugar coating for something that's very bitter. A person has to ask Hashem for advice, that Hashem should guide him as to how much time and brain power he's permitted to allocate for money, for earning a living. We know for a fact, the Torah tells us, Asei Torascha Keva Umalachtecha Aroi. Make it that your Torah should be what you are kavua in, that which you're most established in. You're swimming in Torah, and Malacha is a temporary kind of thing. How many people in the world can say that honestly? That their commitment to Parnasa is less than their commitment to Torah? Until a person can really say that, even if he's looking to earn money to send his kinderlach to yeshiva, you're going to send them to yeshiva, they're going to look at you and see you're a zero, that you're not frum, that you don't sit and study Torah day and night, what are they going to be impressed with? The yeshiva's not going to help. So we see that the Sultan could get a person to make a mistake even in the mitzvah. A person has to ask Hashem for guidance in everything. Hashem, show me what's considered mitzvah, what's considered aveira. When am I doing a mitzvah and going to work and earning money to get stuck on this and that? And when am I going a little bit overboard, thinking about it too much or this or that, in a manner that's subtracting from my learning or my tefillah or my shalom bias, because I'm nervous about parnos, I'll yell at a what, things like that. Those things, a person has to ask Hashem to give him guidance in. And the person has to learn Shulchan Aruch. The person has to learn Torah. The Torah tells you what's permissible, what's not. Shabbos, Parnos is out of the window. Money, no matter what. You want to talk, you want to plot all kinds of mitzvahs still. That topic is gone. Unless it's raising money for tzedakah or something like that. Certain minimal items. But the word Parnos is gone at certain times. The person is sitting at a shir and he's getting hirhurim about Parnos. Again, it's no good, regardless of what it's for. So now Rabbi Nezal says there are these three midos that are mafsid the yira shebelev. Which are these three items? Ki gimel mido seilu heim belev. Now you would ask, what does taivas achila have to do with the heart? What does taivas mamon have to do with the heart? Rabbi Nassau is going to show through psukim now how each one of these three items is associated with the term lev, heart. These three items, heim belev, they are in the heart. And that's what gives them the potential to decrease, to subtract from the yira in a person's heart. Money, its origin is in the heart. The Bechina, says the Pasuk, says, Mishlei, Birkas Hashem, Hi Tashir, the blessing of Hashem gives a person wealth, V'lo Yosef, Otzei Vimo, and it helps a person to avoid Atzvus, sadness, depression. So money is a counter for depression. What does the absence of money? Absence of money is what brings about depression. Rachman Aslan. Money is v'lo yosef otzevimo. Bechinas vayis atzev el liboy. Note the pasuk says that when Hashem got angry at Bnei Israel during at the world at the time of the flood, the pasuk says vayis atzev el liboy. He became depressed in his heart. So we see that where is atzvus? In the heart. About money, it's written, Birkas Hashem Hitashir V'lo Yosef Otzevimo. So we see that Mamon is associated with the heart. That's number one. Next, Achila is also associated with the heart. Bechina says the Pasuk says in Tehillim, V'lechem Levav Enosh Yisod. Bread satiates a person's heart. Note the word Lev is used. Mishagel, the desire for women also, Gamkein Belev is also in the heart. Ki ikar ha-taiva, the main concept of the desire, the illicit desire for women, is through al-yidei ha-chamimus ha-bo me-hadam shebechol alei. It's through the heat that's found in the blood of the heart, the blood that's found in the ventricles of the heart. Umach ma-shehem belei, and okay, period. We know in the Gemara many, many times it brings that it's the heat that's found, the heart is that organ which is constantly pumping, it's generating heat, friction, motion generates heat. So it's the motion of the heart that creates this heat, this desire for women that's referred to many times as a heat, as a chamimus. Rabbi Nezal says, Umach mas shehem balei, because these three items, money, food, and mishagel, are found in the heart, al kein hemafsidin hayira shebalei. Therefore, they have a potential to decrease the fear of Hashem of a person, which is also in the heart, Shehu Bechinas Yerushalayim, which is represented by this term, Yerushalayim. Yira Shalem, Shlemus HaYira, these three items have the power to work against that. Now, Rabbi Nathan is going to quote a Gemara in Brachas, where the Gemara seems to be talking about something totally different, and Rabbi Nathan is going to interpret that Gemara to show how that Gemara is actually hinting to this whole item that Rabbi Nathan just said here. The Gemara says there's a machlokes between the Tanoim as to how many divisions night is divided into. Is it divided into 3/3 or 4/4? So the final opinion in the Gemara is Shleisha Mashmoiroi Savi Alayla, that the night is divided into 3 divisions, 3 sections. And the Gemara describes how a person can tell which, in those days, watches weren't prevalent. How could a person actually tell time? Well, the Gemara gives a person signs by which to be able to tell which part of the night it is. The Gemara says, Shalosh Mashmoiroi Havi Halayla. The night is divided into 3 divisions. Rabbi Nathan explains, what does night represent? Layla Zebechinas Choshech. Night represents darkness. Hainu Menios. Darkness is another word for obstacles. How do we know? How do we know? This question, when I was in yeshiva, when I was in 5th grade, I think it is, there was a word, the principal of the yeshiva used to come around the classes periodically every Sunday to test the kids on some wild thing. Exactly. He used to come around to test the kids, and he once asked the kid how to read a certain, he wanted to see who knows who's good in reading, you know, many times in davening, certain words that are hard to read well, and people often make a mistake, they read it too quickly. So he showed us in Atochen Antanu, in the Tefillah of Atochen Antanu, it uses this word, it has this word chasach, or something like that, I think. Ches sin cha. So he asked the few boys how to read it, and then he said, where else is this word found? And I remember at the time, I don't know how, this one word, I was able to remember from the Akedah that there it says, voy chasach, this one chasach, that's some kind of promise. So this word, I remember very, very well. The word chesach means darkness. The word chasachto means to hold back. Hashem said to Avraham Avinu, because you were willing to sacrifice your son, you didn't hold back your son, therefore I'm going to give you this reward. So nighttime, which is choshech, refers to this concept of menias, which is called choshech. Ches, the same letters, chosachto esbincha, to hold back your son. So Rabbi Nathan says nighttime refers to obstacles. V'heim b'chinas gimel mashmoiros. There are 3 obstacles that prevent a person from proper fear of Hashem. Hainu b'chinas gimel midos hanal. This refers to the 3 items which we discussed before. The 3 characteristics which we discussed before. V'zehu, this is why the Gemara says, mashmoiro rishayna, the first division of night, how can you tell? Chamoir noyer. That's when the donkeys usually bray very loud during the first third of the night. Rabbi Nathan says, what does this represent? The donkey screaming. Bechinas taivas mamoin. The donkey represents the desire for money. Bechinas, as we find in the Chumash, the Pasuk says, Yisochar chamar gorem. Yisochar was compared to a laden donkey. Laden with what? Laden with merchandise. Laden with money. The Targum says, V'targumoi atir benichsin. Atir is oshir. In Aramaic, the tuf and the shin exchange. Oshir benichsin. Wealthy, money. So we see chamoir, donkey, represents money, wealth. Shmiya, the second section of the night, klovin soyakin, the dogs scream. You'll hear dogs yelling, you'll know that you're ready into the second third of the night. Zebechinas taiva sachila, dogs represent taiva sachila. Kama shekosa, as the pasuk says in Yeshaya, v'haklovim azei nefesh lo yodu sava. Dogs are very azus, they're very chutzpedik, they never are satiated, they're never full. A dog, he can sit down and eat a whole big meal, you'll show him another piece of food later. A dog is never full. He's always looking for food, constantly. He could have just finished eating, he'll take him out in the street, you'll see he'll be looking for food again. So the second third of the night, the dog scream, that represents taivas achila. Shlishis, the third of the night, the Gemara says, how do you tell if it's the third of the night? Tinoik yonik mishdeimoi. That's when the young babies start nursing from their mothers. The isha misaperis simbala. That's when young couples, or couples bechlal, start waking up, and the husbands and wives begin to talk. Rabbi Nathan says, ze bechinas mishagel. that refers to this desire, this concept of relations with women. The Gemara says in Ksubas, Ra'uha Midaberes. The Gemara says, when is a person considered suspect of having committed a sin with a woman? If we see him talking to a strange woman, that already can be used as an inference, Chas v'Shalom, that he committed a sin with her. So when the Gemara says, V'isha Misaperes Imbalo, that refers to a Bechina Zivug. That refers to the concept of Taivas Meshagel, the relations between men and women. Okay, so that explains the Ve'isha Misaperes Imbalo.